Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The punishment didn't fit the crime. What was Joseph guilty of? What had Joseph done that was so bad? What crimes had he committed? Yes, his father, Jacob, loved him more than the 11 brothers and gave him a robe of many colors. But Joseph had no control over that. Joseph did himself no favors by telling his brothers about his dreams, how their sheaves of grain would bow down to his sheaf of grain, or about how the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to him. Sibling rivalry, jealousy, sin, wickedness soon escalate and spiral out of control. Almost overnight, Joseph's brothers are suddenly giving serious thought of premeditated murder. Come, now let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Only a last-minute intervention by Reuben prevents them from killing their brother. But Joseph's brothers find a fate for him almost as bad as death, selling him into slavery for 20 shekels of silver. And then they proceed to break the heart of their old father by deceiving him about the death of his dear Joseph. What cold, compassionless hearts those brothers must have had to stand there unmoved while the family patriarch wept with a broken heart, saying, "I will go to my grave in grief." But don't be too quick, you know, to condemn the brothers, Joseph's brothers, for you know what? We are just like them. We're like them, and we just don't like to admit it. How many broken relationships, how many fractured friendships can you count in your life that disintegrated over a little conflict which quickly escalated into something more? Escalating conflict is what we do best, especially when we feel slighted, disrespected, or treated unfairly. Or how many old parents do you know, like Jacob, who are treated treacherously by their children, deceived and disrespected, instead of honored, loved, and cherished? Where sin is concerned, there is nothing new under the sun. Joseph's brothers would fit right in these days in this culture. But what's most shocking about tonight's text is not the wickedness of man, but the silence of God. This family, with all their flaws and failures, they were the chosen people of God. All of God's promises for life and salvation rested on them. From this family would one day come the Christ. Yet what does the Lord do to stave off this shameful situation? Luther calls this a wondrous silence. Why does God allow this to happen? Why is he silent? Why doesn't he intervene? Why didn't Jacob see the risk of sending Joseph up to Shechem to find his brothers? It wasn't a wise move. And once Joseph gets to Shechem and he can't find his brother, who is the stranger? Who is the stranger who just happens to know that the brothers had moved their flocks to Dothan? If not for that stranger, now think about it, or was he a stranger? Joseph might have just turned around and gone back home. In which case, he would not have been sold into slavery. Never would he have ended up in Egypt. Never would he have saved his family from famine. there would have been no Pharaoh, no Moses, no Exodus. The entire Old Testament, the entire history of our salvation hinges on that stranger in Shechem who asks Joseph, "What are you seeking?" God just lets it all happen, lets the tragedies and the triumphs unfold. As tragedy unfolds around us, temptation engulfs us. As conflict escalates and sin spirals out of control, where is God? Surely Joseph asked this as the Ishmaelites hauled him down to Egypt. It's unfair. It's unjust. For poor Joseph, this punishment doesn't fit the crime. Doesn't fit the crime at all. And there is no one to rescue and deliver him. There is only this wondrous silence. It is not unlike the silence on Good Friday. My God, why have you forsaken me? The one who cries out from the cross, he too is a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His punishment, the crucifixion, does not fit the crime. It's unfair. It's unjust. What was Jesus guilty of? Nothing. But Jesus hangs there with nails and thorns for all the crimes of all his brothers and sisters. That'd be you and me. We do the crime, he gets the punishment. We do the sin, he gets the nails. We push away, and he stretches his arms wide open to embrace us on a Roman tool of torture. He bears our sins that we might have a full and free forgiveness. He goes down into the pit of hell that we might rise again to live forever and ever. When God seems quiet and still and distant as life unravels, trust him. Trust him. When crosses and trials close in around you, remember that God does his best work in a wondrous silence. Remember that he works all things for your eternal good. Yes, he watched quietly as Joseph sank into the depths, but only so that he could raise up Joseph and through Joseph save his people from famine. Through Jesus, God has saved you from your sins. In a quiet splash of water in your baptism, in the preaching of all of his promises, with his body and his blood, God is at work for your eternal good and for the salvation of every sibling, for the blessings of every brother and sister of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.